can't see that from your TV, you go ahead and get bigger screen. Cause I'm not gonna do both this, trying to monitor that, that's just too much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you had a decent week. I don't see any signs of melting, so you seem to have survived thus far. Hope that continues. For our announcements today, just as a reminder, Vacation Bible School is coming up very quickly. In connection to that, we're having a block party, and if you want to check on Facebook, you'd be able to see that being advertised. And so I want to bring out kids and grandkids, come be part of that and be able to continue to be able to study and to have lives transformed through Vacation Bible School. Want to be in prayer for our youth who are at camp this week, and so they will be coming back by midweek of this week. Also, I believe the Baptist men are meeting immediately after the church up here in the front, up here in the choir. All right. Are there any other announcements?
We're going to work Thursday night.
Going to work Thursday night. That would be, Baptist men will be doing 5:30.
We'll have a prayer time, 5:30 and work time.
5:30 is prayer time and 6 o'clock is work time. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you do in our lives, we lift up those who are heavier upon our hearts, people that are facing a variety of things. Maybe it's a physical illness. We pray that your healing spirit would be upon them. Maybe it's anguish because of job situation or relationships. We pray that you comfort their hearts and remind them that whatever they go through, they're never alone. We pray for those who feel weak, that you'd be able to give them strength. And for all of us, we pray that our attentions can be focused on you, for we always need a word from you, and we pray that you deliver that word to us this day. All for your glory and for your honor, we pray. Amen. I will also remind us to join us on Wednesday night. We're studying John's Gospel, and also we go through the prayer list that's updated each week so that you can have that list to be able to pray throughout the week.
We have celebrated. We have cooked out. We have shot fireworks. We had time off of work. All because of God's blessing on America. We take the 4th of July so for granted. Veterans that are here, we thank you for serving our country. For those who ever served and have gone on, we remember them and we thank them. So let us never, ever take for granted the freedom that we have. And one of the main freedoms that we have is coming to God's house and worshiping. So let us stand as we sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And would you remain standing as we do our pledges to the flags? 634, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
My country, 'tis of Thee, sweet land of liberty, of Thee I sing. Country thee,
pledge to the American flag. Attention, salute, and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And to our Christian flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior of the kingdom and stands. One Savior, crucified, Christians, buried, and risen again, coming.
And would you remain standing as we sing hymn 633, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory.
Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible boasted sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Figures you and me, as he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
And at this time, we will continue to worship our Lord by giving of our tithes, gifts, and our offerings. Father, we do thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for this country. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come and worship you today. So we give back to you a small portion of what you have blessed us with. And I pray, dear Lord, that our gifts and our tithes and our offerings are pleasing unto you. And I pray that you will bless this gift and bless the giver. For it is your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. ask me where I come from. Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place, where the stars and stripes an eagle flies. It's a big old land where countless dreams and happiness isn't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. No, it isn't that as good.
When the stars and stripes an eagle flies. There's a lady that stands in the harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it cost to be free.
No, it's not the only place on earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids the same way that my daddy did.
Where the stars and stripes an eagle flies.
I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 18, which is the whole chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. May together we hear the word of the Lord. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything of ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit even be more gracious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what the fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflecting the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon us and help us to understand these words. Help us to find ways to apply these words to our lives so that we can be able to glorify you and shine and reflect the light you first have shined in us so that others may see a letter that has been written upon our hearts. All this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old story in which a man wears a lot of hats and says 50 cents a cap. Now, probably most of you don't remember that story, but it's this man who's trying to sell hats. He also has quite an adventure with a group of monkeys. Well, in this story, he is trying to sell something. And I've discovered almost anything in this country is for sale. So I tried to think, what is the most ridiculous thing that I could look up that somebody would post online to sell? Yes, you can get car parts from Amazon, if you didn't know that, or tires. But I thought, no, I want something more ridiculous than that. So I looked up toenails. Well, surely nobody sells toenails until I looked on Etsy, and for $2.99 you can get a little vial with a collection of people's gnarly toenails. It seems that everything is for sale. Paul finds himself in a situation now where something else is for sale, and that's the gospel. These people that came in as these so-called super apostles came into Corinth, and basically, they want to be paid for telling them the gospel. They're making money off of it. And it's not as if that still doesn't happen sometime today. Paul found himself dealing with the church at Corinth. Corinth had so many issues, he had to write two letters. 1 Corinthians wasn't enough. He had to also write 2 Corinthians. He is the one who referred to them as super apostles. These people came in loud and boisterous with a lot of charisma, and they're being able to say, I forget what Paul told you. Here's our letters of reference. Of course, I'm asked to fill out letters of reference for people, but again, sometimes, not that it always happens, but sometimes resumes can be fidgeted with a little bit. So all of a sudden, it looks like they're far more prepared and far more trained and far more experienced than they really are. These people were criticizing Paul. You don't want Paul. You want our message. We're the ones that's got it right. After all, we have the resumes. We have the credentials. And we speak louder. I just made that part up. But Paul then finds himself having to defend his ministry against these so-called super apostles. And that's why he ends chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians by saying, "We are not peddlers of the gospel. We did not come here to sell you anything. We came to share with the gospel." That's why Paul chose to be a tent maker, so that he would make his own money and would not be dependent upon other people to provide that. So he can never, ever be accused of preaching for money. He didn't come to sell them anything. He came to freely give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wonders, why do I have to have references? And he looks out over the people that, well, he's writing this, but in his mind he's looking out over the congregation saying, "We don't need letters of reference. You're our letters of reference. You know what a difference Christ has made in your life. You know how your life has been transformed and changed by the gracious gift of Jesus Christ. You're our letters. Any letters that are written down on a piece of paper, they can be burned. They can be lost. But what's written upon your hearts, that can't be erased. And that can't be lost. And it can't be consumed by fire. It is written very much upon your hearts." But he also says, we're not taking credit for that. We're not the ones who wrote it on your hearts. We spoke the words, but it is God who wrote it upon your hearts. And if we're competent to do what we do, it's because God made us competent. Not because we earned a particular degree. Not because we had a particular person we worked for that gave us a good reference. It comes straight from God. And Paul reminds us that the glory of God was revealed to Moses. And he doesn't diminish the fact that God did indeed speak to Moses. And Moses had these tablets that God wrote these things on stone. But he also makes a big deal of the fact that the people were veiled from God. They couldn't see the glory of God. They can only kind of catch a little glimpse of it as Moses is walking away. That God is always behind a veil. Even when they build the temple, the veil is always separating God from the people. And that somebody has to be that go-between. Yet when Jesus came to earth, everything changed. Everything changed dramatically. No curtain involved. Jesus, who's standing there, who ate in their presence, who stood in their presence, who taught and who preached, this person is the face of God, and there he is in the flesh, in the person. For him, the glory of God is revealed. It's not hidden. You don't have to ask a priest to help show it to you or tell it what it looks like. You see it for yourself. And Paul says, we have a great hope. No curtain can hold back the glory of God that is shown through Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that the Corinthians and us, we have a great hope in the person of Jesus Christ, and it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to hide behind veils. We gaze upon God because we saw and experienced Jesus Christ for ourselves. Those who accepted Moses still remain veiled, cannot see fully what God has done. But for all those who would receive Jesus Christ, they can see God in human form, God in the flesh. And then he says, God is spirit. Only twice does the Bible say God is something. God is spirit. Anybody know what the other one is? God is love. And because God is spirit, and because of the grace that comes through Jesus Christ, we know freedom. What does that mean, that we know freedom? Because Jesus paid the price. The world now can live in freedom if it chooses to. Because of the power of God's Spirit, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when our hearts become transformed and renewed by Jesus Christ, he calls upon the Corinthians to be a reflection, not to be the picture of Jesus, but to be the mirror that reflects Jesus, so that people would see Jesus in us. And for this to take place, we must allow the Spirit of God to write God's words upon our hearts. What does it mean to have freedom? We have the freedom in this country because people have been willing to risk their lives. Some have offered their lives for us to have freedom. The freedom to be able to worship God in this place. The freedom to be able to vote. The freedom to be able to do many of the things that we often take for granted. But one of the things clearly that the Bible teaches is that freedom does not come cheap. That there's a price for any freedom that we have. Millions of lives died in World War II. Many more in World War I, Korea, Vietnam, all of these places in the Middle East. And people have ultimately paid the price so that we are not ruled by some dictatorship. We have freedom because they were willing to lay down their lives. In the same way, the Bible tells us the freedom that comes, that Jesus brings, is all because one man was willing to not forego the cross, but accept the fate of the cross and be willing to lay down his life, even for those people that were mocking him, even for those people who were calling for his crucifixion. Jesus could say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." We have the freedom sometimes to act. One particular case, I go back to a phone call. I was at seminary at the time, and my late wife had answered the phone, and I saw her just kind of slide down the wall, and she burst into tears. She was just informed that her grandfather had been murdered. She found out that he was in his own house. Three young people broke into his house, put a pillowcase over his head, and shot him with his own rifle over about $50 worth of change. Well, having gone through the shock, I know that my wife was hurt. I was angry on her behalf. And so it came to trial, and the persons were trialed, and the person was convicted of having pulled the killer to actually kill him. He was about 27 years old. The others were early 20s. And then my mother-in-law taught me something. She had the freedom to resent him and hate him for the rest of his life, and nobody would have begrudged her that. But she forgave him. I don't know that I could have done that, but she did do that. Freedom comes with some responsibilities that sometimes, even though we're free to do something, we also recognize because freedom comes with a price that we need to be able to use that freedom responsibly. And if God has shown us grace, then Jesus teaches us we need to share that grace with each other. On the 4th of July, we celebrate independence by more than 200 years ago by citizens who wanted to be free. We recognize political freedom is not an easy or cheap either to obtain or maintain. And many have died in wars to provide freedom to maintain our freedom. I had two uncles. We have people in this room that fought in wars. I had two uncles, that one in the Navy, one in the Army. One was in the Pacific, and one was at Omaha Beach. Fortunately, they were not killed, but they put their lives on the line. I have a grandson that's at Fort Sam Houston in the Army. I know that that is not an easy thing, and I thank God for people who are willing to offer themselves in order to maintain the freedom that we do have. But you know, it's real easy to take freedom for granted unless you've been one of those who've been willing to pay that price. It's so easy to think freedom is something we're owed. But it doesn't work that way because, as I said, freedom does not come easy, nor does it come cheap. Spiritual freedom is the same way. Spiritual freedom is available to any man, woman, or child in the world who's willing to accept Jesus Christ and invite them to be Lord and Savior of their lives. But that did not come easy or cheap. For many people, you look at religions. There are more Christians. Some missiologists say more Christians die today simply because they're Christians than they did in the early days when Jesus walked the earth, or even during the time of Paul. Christians killed simply because they're Christians. Sometimes they're killed by other Christians. Sometimes they're killed by Muslims or Hindu radicals or others. There's still a price to be called a Christian, and we take for granted the fact that we can openly worship, whereas many Christians throughout the world don't have that privilege. House churches in China where they're meeting in a cave somewhere because if they were found out that they were meeting and worshiping God, that they could be arrested and their pastor especially would be put in jail. What are we free from? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Because if we're free in Christ, what does that mean to us? What are we actually freed from? In Christ, we're freed from the power and penalty of the law. The law does not judge us. We are free from the power of sin. Doesn't mean we don't sin, but the power or the teeth has been pulled out of sin because of Jesus' crucifixion. We're also free that death is not the end of our story, that there is hope. There is eternal life that follows. And we're free from the penalty of sin that would keep us from an eternal respite with God in heaven. But we're not just freed from things, we're also free to things. And those are the things, especially those of us in this country, should focus on and not take for granted. We are free to worship God. That is not something that all Christians around the world have that freedom. We are free to serve God using our talents and our abilities. And we are free to bear witness to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. In China, if you go and say, I want to tell you about Jesus, you could be put to arrest. They can ask you, but you can't ask them. But we live in a place where we can openly talk about our ideas and be able to openly bear witness to Jesus Christ. So as we remember this day, this celebration, let us remember that the freedom we have in this country is because of the willingness of people to lay their lives on the line and people who have given their lives so that others may live in freedom. And on this day of celebration, may we remember that the spiritual freedom we have begins with one small point. God loved us that much that he gave his only son to die on the cross for you and for me so we can live in freedom. He sacrificed his own life so that all might believe in him, might be set free. And as the Bible itself says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. What a glorious thing freedom is. But let's use it to glorify our God. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, as we come to you this day, we recognize that freedom is something that we talk about, but we hope that we appreciate all the freedom we have, the freedom in this country to be able to openly worship you, to serve you, to tell others about you, and not fear being put in prison because of that. We pray for those Christians around the world who don't have that luxury and sometimes pay the ultimate price. We also thank you for the ability to be able to gather together to worship you, to serve you. We also thank you for the opportunity to get to know you face to face. That somehow, even though the words on a page, we see Jesus in these words. We see the very face of God. That you've not hidden away from us. That we have to somehow solve a puzzle to get to it. You actually came to us and invited us to come and follow you. I pray each and every one of us have made that decision to come and to follow you wherever you happen to lead. Whether that's to receive you for the first time as Lord and Savior of their life, and to choose you as their Savior, or whether it's simply to get a new vision of how God might use them or use me in the days ahead, so that we may reflect, we may be letters, have letters that are written upon our heart that reflect your glory, your influence, your transformative spirit, all for the glory and honor of the one who paid the ultimate price, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we do pray. Amen.
For our time of invitation, let us stand and sing hymn number 134, Jesus Paid It All. 134. Would you stand, please?
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For then before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.